in the aftermath of the police killing of George Floyd. As the U.S. confronts its racist past and present, many white Americans are facing their own demons. WBUR contributor Calvin Hennick has this commentary.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about how white supremacy infects us in ways we may not realize. In 2007, a young woman was killed at a party in Dorchester, caught in the crossfire between two gang members. I followed the news on the radio for a week or so, assuming the victim was black. Then, I finally stumbled on her photo in the newspaper. I saw a pretty white girl, and a terrible thing happened inside my brain. Suddenly, her death somehow seemed more tragic. Nothing had changed except her race. I shuddered at the realization, ashamed of myself. My own fiancée was a black woman, and yet my unconscious mind had been trained to place more value on the life of a white woman. Today, my wife and I have two children. Our 9-year-old biracial son is big and beautiful and anxious. We put off talking to him about police violence against black people for as long as we felt we could, but we had to talk to him about George Floyd. He wept when we told him. Then he drew us a picture of a white police officer holding a smoking gun, looking down at an unseen corpse, with the words, "Killed me," filling the white space. My son can't do anything to change the way the world sees him, to protect him and every other black boy and girl in America from racism. White people must change the way our own eyes see the world. We must do the work of stamping out white supremacy where it lives, in our systems and in ourselves. But how? I'm already finding ways to be more active and vocal in the fight against racism, but I'm also trying to listen more and amplify black voices, and to stay silent during my own moments of discomfort when their stories challenge things I thought I knew. I know there will be moments when the white supremacist inside my subconscious tries to defend itself. My wife is originally from Haiti, and several years ago, I read a book about her country's revolution. The enslaved people outnumbered their masters, and they rose up and took their freedom with machetes. It's one of the most glorious, triumphant events in all of human history. And yet, when I read about it for the first time, my hand instinctively floated upward to protect my own throat.
Calvin Hennick is the author of Once More to the Rodeo. He's also a contributor to WBUR's Ideas and Opinion page. You can read his essay and thousands of others at WBUR.org.